Grab your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. John 15. This is very personal today. I mean, I know there's a lot of us here at this third service, but this is all about you and I talking this morning and sharing something that is very, very personal. It's heavy duty. I got to tell you, though, it's heavy. And you'll see why in a moment. John chapter 15 and beginning at verse 1. Follow with me. Jesus is speaking. Oh, let me tell you this before we start reading. Jesus, when he speaks John 15, you know what we know about this? This is just moments after the upper room experience. This is very cool stuff. You know the upper room where Judas and all the other guys were there at the table? Do you remember when they were breaking the bread and the announcement is made, my betrayer is at the table? They're all in the upper room. Many of you have been with us to that portion of the old city of Jerusalem. In fact, for those of you who have got this picture, the upper room setting, as Jesus leads the disciples out from that point, we know exactly where he's going. He's going across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, which is host to a garden. And the garden is called the Garden of what? Gethsemane. The Garden of the Crushing. That's where they treaded out the olives to get olive oil. The place of crushing. The Garden of Crushing. There's only one way to get there. This is so cool. It's actually not only one way to get there, it's reduced down to a path about 6 feet wide. So we know exactly, 2,000 years ago, we know exactly what's happening. Jesus is in the upper room. They now break from that. Judas is gone. He's in cahoots with the bad guys. And there's an arrest party being formed. So now Jesus takes the 11 guys now, and they are heading northeasterly toward the Temple Mount. If you're looking, look everybody, if you're looking, if this was a TV, and you were watching like the news, there would be the Dome of the Rock Mosque, that golden mosque that came much later, but it's there, okay? And then you have the Eastern Gate that is sealed up right here. There's graves in front right here. Jesus is coming from this direction, southwesterly, heading northeasterly. He comes up. They go just here on the south end of the southern steps of the temple. We do Bible studies on the southern steps. Neil Armstrong said, this is the most significant spot on earth, and it's the most important place I've ever put my foot, not the moon. That's what Neil Armstrong said. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus is walking now with the disciples down that area of the southern steps. They come right to the end of the Temple Mount, and he turns left. He walks in front of the Golden Gate, which is sealed up today. You can look at it online or in photos, and then turns right. Now the temple's to their back. They go across about a 6 foot wide walkway across the Kidron Valley or the Valley of Jehoshaphat. You know it from the Old Testament. And then you head up the hill to the Mount of Olives, and the Garden of Gethsemane is just opposite. Jesus clearly has the disciples turn and look back at the temple. Why? Because all around the temple at the top, we would say the crown molding of the temple, the facade or something, the trim, the eaves, whatever you want, you know what I'm talking about? There was a beautifully woven vine, grapevine, with grape leaves and grapes, overlaid with gold. In fact, in 70 AD, when Titus, the general of the 5th Roman Legion, came into town, they took that gold off the temple and took it back. We know exactly where that gold is today. That gold is in the Vatican vaults in Rome today. By the way, so is the menorah that was in the temple. It was actually seen by eyewitnesses, Flavius Josephus, one of them, where in Rome, entering into what is called the Forum, where Titus, the Arch of Titus, you've all heard about that? Are you guys, am I born, you guys? The Arch of Titus in Rome has got a relief carving of Titus and his troops carrying the menorah of Israel into Rome. We know exactly where that is. They took the gold, and Jesus, watch this. Jesus turns the disciples around and he says, watch this. John chapter 15, are you open? Verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Translation, you think that's a vine? I'm the true vine. You think the contractors did an awesome job? My Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, this is key. If you're a Bible student, circle this word. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who believes or abides, in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Jesus said this, interestingly enough, as I said earlier, without Judas being present. What fruit did Judas ever bear? None whatsoever. Was he among the ranks of the believers? Quote, believers. Yes, he was. Was not Judas a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Listen, you want to get freaked out? Two times Jesus sends his disciples out to go minister to see. I mean, he knew how they would do. They didn't know how they would do. And he sends them out. Remember, he tells them, go, take no staff, take no money bag, go and minister. I'll see you later. He sends them out. And they came back, do you remember? And they said, wow, it was amazing. We preached the gospel. We performed miracles. Even demons were subject to our powers. And that was exciting, Jesus. And remember what Jesus said? He said, that's fantastic. But don't get all pumped up over that. Get pumped up over this, that your names are written down in heaven. Isn't that cool? So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Even with such declaration, even with such incredible exposure, Judas was in that group early on. We have no reason to doubt that Judas did not perform miracles. It sounds as though he did perform miracles. Performing miracles, is that how you get to heaven? No. It's not only by being a believer, there's something that is incumbent upon a believer. There's something that's native to being a believer. There's something about a fact to us raising our hands, and that is there's the fruit that proves what we proclaim. And here's where all of us today who are believers really need to check our own pulse. This is very, very important. We're looking at a message this morning that is kind of entitled, because this is more of like reading a diary in our lives, I guess, Just Making Sure. Why are we doing this morning? Because you know what? The Middle East is going nuts, everybody. The world's coming unhinged. It seems like there's something more going on every week. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not aware of anything more going on this week. Oh, how about a 7.9 and a 7.6 earthquake in various places this week since we met last? And by the way, didn't we have an earthquake recently? Again? Didn't Brawley have something like 300 and some odd earthquakes recently in a few days? What's going on? What is happening? What's with China moving some of their military forces into the Middle East now? What's going on with that? And what's with Russia bringing all their aircraft carriers and their submarines into the Mediterranean and telling us to stand down? And what's happening? Things are crazy right now. Why is it important that with what's going on in the Middle East right now and the global markets and all this kind of stuff, there's a lot of uncertainty out there, but people, now it's gotten so prominent, people are not talking about it. It's gotten real quiet. It's like, did you see the news? I don't hear any news. Did you turn on your radio? I don't turn on the radio. Did you read the newspaper? I don't read the newspaper. Why? There's just all this bad news everywhere. Listen, in the midst of all this, I thought it'd be a good weekend, a good Sunday for us to ask this question that, hey, maybe we should make sure about our own walks with Jesus. Maybe with all that's going on, that it's just not good enough. Some kid told me the other day, oh, that's fat. What does that mean, fat? It's not fat if we know all the stuff. If we can answer all the Bible questions, and if we can watch the Great American Bible Challenge program that's now on TV, which is a great show. So I love it. I'm shouting the answers at the TV now. Nicodemus! Nicodemus! If I know all the answers, but my head got cut off, then all the answers would be in my head. What good is that? No, listen, to go from theoretical, religiously, to practical, relationally, I need to have the truth that came into my ears and into my head be settled in my heart. Is Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior? He is only if I understand that I'm to abide. It's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And this is very important. Let's look at verses 1 to 3. He says, I am the true vine and my Father the vine dresser. Every branch. And I just want to stop right there for a second. Stop right at the beginning of verse 2. Jesus is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. And every branch. What's that all about? I think it's good for us right now in the light of what's going on in the world that we make sure that we have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not in declaration only. It's in doing. Imagine now if we were to make the announcement, oh, I know that guy. I mean, what if I were to say something? Who's famous? Who's really famous? Who's famous? Clint Eastwood is famous this week. Yikes. What if I were to say to you, I know Clint Eastwood. And you say, oh, wow, that's cool. Wow, really? Man, that's something. And then Clint Eastwood goes, who are you? I'm Jack. I mean, I know you. Oh, and you mean you saw me in some movies? Well, yeah, you know, same thing. It's not the same thing. Well, I go to church. I know Jesus. Not the same thing. I know some Bible verses. Not the same thing as knowing them. Very different. Do you have a working, living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ? The truth of that will be proven, shown in how your life is lived. And here's the amazing part. Listen, everybody. It's not how hard you work at it. If I were to tell you, and this is good in the context, study hard, work hard, put God first and study, you know, dedicate your science and your medical training to God, be the best student at UCI and come on out and be top of your class and take care of me for free. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's your effort, and we're to put that effort into that. But if I were to tell you that that's how you know God, that is not how you know God. We can easily take a church, a Bible study, our own Bibles, and actually make it an idol. We can avoid doing the things that God would have us to do in life, and we can get so busy with Christian stuff that we actually miss the Christ of Christianity. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about abiding. Jesus numerous times says here, abide. The key is abiding. If you abide, fruit is produced. In those first 8 verses, it's very clear. Jesus is saying, this is how you're going to know a real, real heaven-bound believer in me. They will hang out with me. They will dwell with me. They will fellowship with me. The word abide means to live with him. Jesus is saying, live with me and I'll live with you. You see, what is that? Is that a two-way street? Yeah, kind of, sort of. I say kind of, sort of because he's waiting for the invitation. Listen, church, he wants to live with you. He wants to live with us. He wants to live with me. The thing is, I need to say, Jesus, I want you to live with me, and I want to live with you. The backslidden church in the book of Revelation, Jesus says to that church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup, have dinner with him. Right? Isn't it interesting? He's not saying that to non-believers. I know it's a great verse to share with people as an evangelistic context, and I'm sure we're not doing it any harm, but if you were trying to answer that in a Bible college or university, you'd get the wrong answer. Jesus is talking to a church that goes by his name, and he's saying, let me in. Well, to abide in Christ is to open up your life and say, Jesus, come in. Jesus, listen, in every way, shape, and form, take possession of my life. Take control of my life. Listen, friends, Jesus is saying to us today in the Word of God, trust me enough, know me enough, that when you approach that moment and say, Jesus, come into my life, take my life, or be greater and bigger in my life, be the Lord of all aspects of my life, he's asking you to trust him, to hand him the keys of everything. And listen, friends, church, listen, Jesus wants to encourage us this morning. It is absolutely essential that when we hand him the keys, we are saying to him, I trust you with my life. Don't raise your hand, but do you trust Christ with eternity? On that moment that you're dying, do you trust Jesus to get you into heaven? Oh, yes, I do. Well, then listen, do you trust Jesus Christ today to lead you to that job or to lead you through that difficulty or to take you through this illness or whatever it might be? Dealing with your boss or your boss maybe having to deal with you? What is it? He is Lord over it all if we are real believers. We cannot look, we cannot experience him as the true vine and the Father as the vine dresser unless we're a branch. And this is something. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Bible says, for God, that would be the vine dresser, was in Christ Jesus, that's the true vine, reconciling the world back to himself through Christ. That's me. So God has done this, and he wants us to have a reconfirmed relationship. Simply put, is your heart hot for God? Now listen, before we move on from here, this is a very critical thing. And I'm not pointing my finger at anybody, I'm pointing the finger at me. Jack, you've been a believer for 35 years. Are you hot-hearted for me right now? Or were there days in your previous Christian experience where you were hotter for me? Was your love more intense for me in earlier days than it is now? Number one, Christian, listen. There are seasons that we all go through in our Christianity. Thank God seasons change. This morning, it felt like fall at first and second service. Third service, it's right back to summer. Seasons change. We must have seasons change. You will never have a crop. You will never have sustainable growth in the way of food product and all without seasons changing. Your existence is predicated upon seasons changing. I understand that. Spiritually, seasons change. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But listen, do you know what should never change? It's God's will that your heart be hotter for him today than it was this time last year, or however long you've been a Christian. Today should be your hot day. Today. You see, Jack, I know, like in a book, that makes a lot of sense. I know, Jack, that in a perfect world that makes sense. But what? But you come up to me like a guy after first service and say to me after the service, hey, you know what? I need you to pray for me, man, because I'm in a lot of trials right now. Really? Like what? Well, I got arrested for doing pot. And then I got in an accident. And I was in the hospital for so long that I came out hooked on morphine. So now I'm trying to deal with that. You know, those doctors really messed me up. And he was blaming everybody. And he goes, And I said, well, you know what? You just really need to answer this question I'm going to ask you. He goes, yeah, sure, what is it? I go, when's the last time you read your Bible? And he goes, well, I don't read it as much as I should. Listen, my friends, anyone who gives you that answer, you can come right back at them and say, you haven't read your Bible in months at best. That's code word. Well, I don't read as much as I should. Translation, I ain't reading it at all. Okay? So I told him, I said, listen, stop blaming the doctors and stop blaming the guy that broadsided you and stop blaming pot and stop blaming morphine. The fact of the matter is, you are powerless, you're fruitless, because you've decided to be like that. You need to start reading your Bible. And the guy goes, oh, Bible? Like magic? I mean, can't you just like make the sign of the cross over me, Pastor, and I'll be, no. Listen, this whole thing comes about, Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and I in you, something's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen. Look at verse 2. As a Christian, he prunes. If you're not a Christian, he cuts away. Cut away. Look at that verse, verse 2. If you are a branch and you're not producing, Jesus says, well, that's just to be cut away. But if you are a branch producing, this is amazing. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to want to hear this, but then you are going to want to hear this. Remember how, you know, we're all Christians, right? Okay, well, watch this. Have you ever had a rough day? Have you ever had a rough week? Have you ever had a rough couple of months or a few rough few years? Have you ever had this thought in your mind, God, what are you doing? If he were to answer you back, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. What are you doing? I'm just complaining about what you want to do. As a believer in this life, God does this. All those Christians at Calvary Chapel, they all raise their hands. They're all so productive. They're so fruitful as believers. That's fantastic. And as you're standing there in your fruity glory of producing all this amazing spiritual stuff, Jesus comes out of the woodshed and he's got an axe. And he's walking toward you with a smile on his face. And he's sharpening the axe. And he's coming up, Jack, dude, how are you? Yeah, I'm good, Lord, how are you? I'm fantastic, I'm so blessed. And I got word from my father, he's really happy. Why? Because you know what? You've been producing fruit in your life. This is awesome. You've been hanging out with me. You've been in the Word. We've been in conversation called prayer. You've been talking with God's people, your brothers and sisters. Life's happening. I'm using you. This is fantastic. So it's good, right? Oh, it's great. Okay, good. Because I was beginning to, I thought that axe there was for me for a moment. And he goes, oh, actually, it is for you. And whack, he cuts off a branch here and a branch there and a branch over here. And imagine if your tree at home sees you coming, if it had a mouth and it saw you coming and it starts thinking, haven't I been a good tree to you? I've given you avocados every year. What's the deal? Why are you doing this? Well, because you do give avocados. So why can't we just leave it alone like this? Because you know what? You're not going to be happy if you just keep producing the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, you could be a tree like it's 10 years old, but with only 1 year of actual volume of production that you just repeat every year. How about having 10 years of actual experience to 10 years of your actual walk? And I'm going to trim this off because wherever I trim this, it's going to be bloody. Oh, man, there's going to be sap gushing everywhere. But listen, when you get healed up, you know what happens? You sprout out more and you produce more. And these things are called trials and tribulations of life. And the Christian who goes through trials and tribulations understands that this is how I'm going to grow. You say, well, God, I know that's what your Bible says, but can't I grow without those things? I've already tried. It doesn't work. The Bible says it's through much difficulty and tribulation that we inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us in the book of James that it's through all of these fiery trials that our faith is confirmed. Now, right now, listen, you may or may not realize this, but there is a division taking place in this church right here, right now. Because some of you are saying, I'm not interested in that. I want it easy. Just know this. You are flirting with a potential disaster because a non-believing branch says, just keep me in a pot, indoors, near the window, with the air conditioning on. Perfect, please. Thank you very much. And there's another tree outside that's in the heat, in the cold, in the rain, in the wind, dealing with bugs, dealing with kids carving their names into it, and this thing's hanging in there. And the Christian branch says, watch this, everybody, because this is how it feels. Jesus, I know how I should answer this. I know the answer. Just like that guy next door knows the answer. The guy that's in the pot. The potted plant guy. The potted plant guy wants it easy. Honestly, Lord, I want it easy. But I know that that doesn't work. And I know that in life there's hardships. So, with all the faith I have, which ain't much, I'm saying to you, Lord, here I am. Take my life. Graft me in. Be my God. I surrender to your plan. And this is how it is. Watch this. It looks like this. Lord, I abide. And I have to tell you, this is how I live. And this is how you live. As a believer, every day you are wondering and thinking, not, oh no, it's been going so good, I hope nothing bad happens. Nothing bad happens to a believer. It's all in the plan of God. We have Him watching over our trials, difficulties, and perils of life. A non-believer doesn't. They are in the same problems we have, but they have no hope. We've got all the promises of God. And He says, cheer up, Jack, I'm going to take you through this. Okay, all right. Okay, let's go. And all along the way, He's whispering sweet somethings in our ear. All along the way. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Remember this. Thank you, Lord. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. That's why we're going through this right now. Thank you, Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. Remember, you are as clean and pure as the driven snow in my sight. You're going to make it through this. Remember, this is only the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to walk you through the other side. How does this happen in our lives? Only by abiding. Take up the dwelling to live in the place. What happens? This is what happens. He prunes us so that we might bring forth more fruit. You and I, the true believer in this room today, will never be happy with little fruit. You know what? Listen, for some of you, I pray the light bulb just comes on and just blows your mind today. That for some of you, you've been battling back and forth. Am I a believer or not? Am I a Christian? I mean, my goodness, I love God, but I want to love Him more. I don't love Him enough, and I want to serve Him, but I really don't even hardly serve Him at all. And you got this strange thing going on in your life. And Jesus is saying to you today, hey, you've invited me into your life to take control of your life, to be the Lord of your life. I prune. I'm the Lord. Part of my lordship stuff is pruning. And so I'm going to prune this because I'm cutting this part off. Watch. It produced fruit, God glorifying fruit for 6 months, for a year, for 10 years, for 3 months. Doesn't matter. It was fantastic, Jack. So Lord, can it just stay? No, because you won't be happy. And I know that by the power of my Spirit, you are yielding to my Spirit, Jack. Susie, you're leaning on my Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. I've heard your call to grow closer to me and deeper. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut off what once produced, because if we cut it in a certain way, it's going to produce more. And you almost fearfully but joyfully receive that. And your life grows and develops. And the true believer in this room today says, almost with a little bit of a wince, Lord, do it. I'm 100% at your mercy. Prune away. Because I would rather be a stump. Have you ever seen a rose at the end of the season? A rose bush that's been trimmed? It looks like Satan made it. I mean, a rose bush looks horrific when it's been cut back. It's just a gnarly bump. And you say, man, what'd you do to your rose bush? I pruned it. Well, what are you, stupid? That looked, it looked great. What did you do to it? I've had that rose bush for 10 years. Just watch. Come back in the spring and the summer. You're going to think it's better than this year. Why? Because I just pruned it. And God does that to us. Listen, you can find out this on the web, like I did. Northern California, you can find out how wine growers grow grapes. I didn't know this. This is amazing. In light of John 15, keep this in mind. A vine dresser will examine his fruit, his vines that he's got growing. And he'll look, and he knows his vines. And so he looks and he sees a branch, and he knows that this particular branch produced last year. This year it's not producing so much. Do you know what they do? See, you're going to think, oh, they just cut it off. Not so fast. You know what they do? They wind up taking the branch, and they pull up the branch, and they tie it off to some sort of a support. Why? Because they said when it's not producing, then there must be a nutrient flow problem. It's not getting the energy that it should. So I'll make sure that the pathway is open and right. So I'll prop it up. Has God ever propped you up? And next step, you know what he does? Next step, he takes water and he washes the branch and the leaves on the branch with water by hand. Why? Because it stimulates growth within the branch. Doesn't the Bible say in Ephesians, and Jesus says it here, now you are clean by the word that I've spoken to you. Remember Peter? He's so great. He's so great to show us what we shouldn't be doing. Peter's the best. Everybody's getting their feet washed, right, in the upper room, and Jesus comes to Peter, and Peter goes, you're not washing my feet. Can you imagine Peter telling God, not me, sorry. I mean, I know you're Lord, but no. Jesus says, well, you know, Peter, it's so great. If I don't wash your feet, then you have no relationship with me at all. And Peter goes, he's so great. He goes from, the pendulum goes from that end to that end. He goes, oh, not only wash my feet, but my whole body, my head and everything. Jesus says, calm down. If your feet are washed, it's good because you are already clean by the word I've spoken to you. The Bible, the word of God. Do you have something going on in your life? And you've tried Nicorette and you've tried detoxing this and you've tried jogging and you've tried plucking your eye out and you've tried, listen, surrender to the power of God. And know this, Jesus wants to abide with you and you to abide with him. Think of it. Oh, it's so hard. Not really. Just take him with you. He's already with you anyway. You know, he was here when you showed up, but he was also with you in the car on the way here. Okay, he was listening. Yeah, he was. He was with you when you woke up this morning. And he'll be with you when you leave here today. You can't escape him. He knows. And so if you begin to realize, Jesus is with me. I'm abiding in him and he's abiding in me. That's going to change your entire lifestyle. You don't have to get beat up by the church elders, or we don't have to crucify you in the parking lot or take the Ten Commandments and slap them between your ears like that. Why? What is that? That's nuts. You have the opportunity to love God. You say, now here's the thing. Watch this. In fact, well, somebody shout out if you agree with this, just because. In my life, I'll say, Lord, I love you. This is exactly what happens. And this is why I'm sharing it, because this is what gave birth to this message. Lord, I love you. God, I feel like a jerk because I say that I love you. As soon as it comes out of my mouth, I know I need to love you more. I don't love you enough. In fact, I'm pretty ashamed at how pathetically I love you. So then I go to John 15 this week, and I read verse 1. And I'm reminded, oh my goodness, I know a secret weapon. an anti-jack device. It's John 15. It's abiding. So here's what you do. Hi, Lord, I'm back again. Here's the deal. And I can only say this to you because you're the only one who understands. If I were to tell Lisa, my wife, I love you, but I don't love you enough. In fact, when I think about it, I'm pretty ashamed of how little I do love you. That's not going to go over well. Right? I'm crazy about you, but I could be more crazy about you. That doesn't work with humans. But when you tell God, God, I love you, I'm ashamed about how little I love you, but I'm asking you to put more love for you in my heart. I want to love you more. I want to hang out with you more. I want to talk to you more in prayer. That's what talking to God is, prayer. We make such a big deal of prayer. Let's pray. Really, it's that bad? I'm going to go to a prayer meeting. Why? What happened? Isn't it terrible? It's communication. The believer goes, prayer meeting or not, I talk to God. We just talk to God. You could be at work talking to God. You're driving on the freeway, you're talking to God. And this is a great time to be alive. You can have like Bluetooth. Listen, I got saved back in the days when you were talking to God and you're driving, and Lord, you know, God, you're awesome. And people would go, sick. He's sick. Pull him over. There was none of that technology. Nowadays, you can get away with anything. You can talk to God all the way to work, and people think you're on your cell phone. You're talking to God. It's just prayer. God bless my family. Lord, just heal America. Lord, do something mighty in my church. On and on it goes. But a believer understands that God wants this personal. Also this. He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Boy, isn't that true? Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want my life to make a difference. And Jesus is saying, okay, this is great. This is fantastic. Watch this. I'm going to use you. All you need to do is stay with me. Just stay with me. It takes no effort. Stay with me. You don't have to jump through the hoops. Stay with me. There's no performance on your part. Stay with me. Isn't that amazing? Think of it. This rubs us the wrong way now. Listen, for those of you, and many of you have come to this church out of cults. And the cults taught you, you had to earn God's favor. You had to work hard enough to get him to smile. And you're not even still sure, oh, you know, am I saved? Will it all weigh out in the end? Will my good scale outweigh my bad scale? That's paganism. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and there's nothing you can add to the merit of Christ. He's done it all. You are to receive what he's done. And in that, you say, God, I'm a sinner, and I need your saving grace. In that is repentance. Lord, I turn from my ways, and I call out to you. This is acknowledgement. But God has done the saving. You are to receive. And the person that's in hell today, they would, boy, I tell you, if we could just open up the ceiling and let them talk, or open up the floor and let them talk. Imagine what they would say. We know this from the Bible. They would not say, well, I shouldn't be here. Did you know none of them would say that? They would say, don't be so stupid like I was, and arrogant and proud. Every time someone came to me and began to share with me about the love of God and Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I mocked them. I made fun of them. I pushed them away. I would have nothing to do with it. Plus, I didn't have the time. I was trying to make all this money and do all this stuff and have this kind of thing. And my life ended. I breathed my last breath and I woke up in a life of having denied Christ all my life. And this is how I put myself in hell. You say, how do you know, Jack? Because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater love than a man hath than a man laid down his life for his friends. Henceforth I call you, Jesus said, my friends. What's your excuse? We are to be abiding in him, and it's simply saying, Lord, have it all. And therein is the challenge, isn't it? Lord, have it all. Take it all. And yet it's the best thing that we could ever do. He goes on and he says this. If anyone does not, verse 6, abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they are gathered, they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is my opinion, and I stress, underline, this is my opinion. I think Jesus is here making a point. I believe when you put this in light of all other scripture, Jesus is not saying, well, there's those who were saved and then they lost their salvation and they wound up being burned up. That's nowhere in the Bible. You see, yeah, but it says they're a branch. Well, yeah, we're all humans. Some are going to heaven and some are not. Didn't Jesus warn us that the kingdom of God is like a field that has tares in it? You know what a tare is? A tare looks just like wheat. You can't tell the two apart. One has a toxic characteristic to it, and the other one's real wheat. And you don't mess with either one until the day of the harvest. And then when you judge or winnow or you thresh the wheat, then the tares are separated from the real chaff, but they look, or the real wheat, but they look exactly the same. Jesus is not talking here about somebody losing their salvation. He's talking about people who were given the opportunity to be saved and never accepted. I believe if you have salvation, you can't lose it. The question is, do you have it? How do you know you have it? How do you honestly know you're going to heaven? There's only one way. By abiding in Christ, have you produced fruit? I'm going to tell you in the end what the fruit is. Have others come to pick from your life the things that God has done, and you know God has been the one doing it? You are, in fact, you're a little bit embarrassed that your life has even mattered at all, that you're glad because you couldn't have pulled it off. Do you know what I'm saying? Please listen. I love you. I pray that you can't sleep tonight until this is settled in your life. Have you produced, or have you seen fruit produced from your life? It's a very strange setting. You can look at it later. If you go to the west side of the sanctuary building over here, on the west building, there are orange trees that produce oranges, and we give them away to people here in the body. You go to the right side of the sanctuary, and there's orange trees, and they don't produce nothing. They get the same vitamins. They get the same water. In fact, look at the difference in growth. They've told us the soil's exactly the same. For me, I love gardening. You guys all know that. It bugs me to no end. What is happening? Isn't it interesting that on the right side, it's fruitful, and on the left, it's not? Jesus says, the sheep I have on my right, the goats are on the left. So I don't know about you guys. How is it that you have a home raising children, and the two kids hear exactly the same thing, and one embraces Christ and one doesn't? Jesus says, abide in me. Rejection, acceptance and rejection. If it wasn't the case, he wouldn't have pleaded with us. Abide in me. And watch this. Look in your Bible. Abide in me. Verse 2, bring forth fruit. Abide in me, verse 5, bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, I think it's verse 8. I'm not looking. I'm going from memory right now. Produce much fruit. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. What does this mean? As a Christian, I'm to be more productive. Listen, I'm to be more spiritually productive with each year of growth than it was previously. This is not an option. This is a mandate by God. Were you serving God more 3 years ago than you are today? Why? That's not God's will. Were you loving God more 3 years ago than you are today? Why? That's not God's will. Were you more influential for the kingdom of God 3 years ago than you are today? Why? That's not God's will. So what? I'm older. What does that have to do with anything? You should be more fruitful and more creative about being fruitful. To not be progressing is to be backsliding. And I say this in love because, listen, the world's gone nuts. And we need to be ready. So what are you talking about? Guns? Tanks? I'm talking about having your soul secured in the everlasting arms of God. He says in verse 7 and 8, if you abide in me, okay, hang on to your seats. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you have the word of God in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Someone just heard me say that and said, oh, awesome. I can get a Bentley now and a Ferrari and throw in a Hummer. That's not what it means. Watch everyone. Verse 7. If you live in me and my words live in you, go ahead and ask whatever you want and it's going to be done. You know what that means? The issues of heaven that's on God's heart. I don't even think he tells this stuff to angels. I really mean this. I don't think God tells angels stuff that he wants to tell us. They were not created in his image. And angels are unredeemable. Isn't that wild? Think of that. He didn't die for angels. He died for us. I think he tells us things if we're listening. I don't think God would say things like this to us. If you ingest my word, the Bible, my word. I've been reading some good Christian books. Put them down. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God says that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who uses the word of God that renews our mind daily. The Bible says we've been given a new heart, but our minds have to be renewed daily. I appreciate that. You know what? You cannot read enough Bible. I met a man last service who, and if he's in this service as well, I hope it doesn't go to his head. This needs to go to his heart. He said, Pastor Jack, what you said today at second service is so true. I picked up this challenge and I did it. And I said, what is that? And he said, I read the New Testament 52 times in 1 year. And he said, the word of God in my life changed my life forever. See, you know what? If we're not careful, do you know what's changing our lives forever? The world news reports, or I don't even know what's on TV anymore. Reality show stuff. Actually, I'm a documentary junkie. I have to be careful about that. There's one. I'll pick on myself. My whole worldview could be shaped by documentaries. And God says, turn it off. They're not bad. A Bible program on the radio is not bad. But if it's your only source of ingestion, that's not good. You know what? God wants to sit down with you and talk to you from this book, his Bible. Will you just start reading it? Just read it. Turn off the music. Get away. Climb a tree. Seriously, I don't care. Just get away. Find a place. Start reading it. And then the young people go, you mean a book? A physical book? You want me to... Well, okay, yeah, you can read it on your iPad or whatever you've got. Just pray to God that the batteries don't wear out. Read it. Because if his word gets inside, you know what's going to happen? The conversion of your will takes place, and this is what happens. You go from praying, oh God, I pray I win the lottery, to, Lord, How can I reach the hurting in my church? How can I reach the homeless? Or how can I reach the person I sit near or around on Sundays or Wednesdays? God, what are we going to do about the earthquake in the Philippines? What are we going to do? God, speak to me. Listen, your very heart's desires have been deposited or will be deposited by God in your heart, and you will start lusting for those things that God wants you to do. And it's so funny because we'll start having thoughts like this. Dear Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I really want to reach the people of Detroit. We really need to reach the people of Detroit. And you're trying to convince God, God, stop holding me back. I've got to reach the people of Detroit. And the Lord is saying, you knucklehead, you've been loving on me. I've been loving on you. I put Detroit in your heart. Go. And you go to Detroit, and it's the greatest experience of your life. And you wonder, how can this be allowed by God? Because you're abiding in him. Are you ready? Here's the answer. We got to go. Here it is. So what's the fruit? Before I give you the fruit, mark these down. Number one, how do I abide? Number one, communion with God. Start being with him. Number two, start a dialogue of prayer 24/7, 365. Just start talking to him. Three, fellowship with God's people. Western Christians have bad habits of not fellowshipping with God's people. You should fellowship with Christians that pick your walk up, not tear it down. And some Christians are hanging around people who, they're of the world, so you're supposed to reach them, but you're thinking that if you become like them, then you'll reach them. And I promise you, that will never happen. You need to speak to your friends and invite them out of their pit. Fourthly, be in the Word of God. You do those things, you'll flourish. Okay, so here's the fruit. Say, man, what's the fruit? If I abide, what's the fruit? It's not hard. Here it is. Galatians 5, and we'll be done. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice, it's not fruits. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, singular. That's the Holy Spirit. Is singular. What's the word? Love. There should be a period right there. In the English Bible, there's a comma. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Good night. End of day. That's it. If you abide in Christ, that is, if you're near Jesus, you're talking to Jesus, you're reading about Jesus, you're living for Jesus, the proof of it is love coming out of your life. And it's not human love, it's supernatural love. Well, how do I know if it's supernatural? Because the guy you hate, you wind up loving. The person that drives you nuts, you wind up liking. The things you would never do, you have to do. Or you get to do. Complete change. Your wife who used to drive you nuts, or your husband that used to drive you nuts, now it's, why do I have these feelings for this person? Been married to them for 20 years, drive me crazy every day. Don't like the way he slurps his coffee, and I don't like the way she shampoos her hair. All this stuff is like, what? All of a sudden this stuff begins to evaporate. Why? Jesus walking with you kind of goes like this. Yeah, that thing, bink, let's get it out of there. Oh, and that other thing, bink, let's get that out of there. And it happens by being with him. It's amazing. So watch this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How do we know if we have the love of God? We'll have joy. Look at it. Verse 22. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. Do you know what that means? We're done. Look, you know what this means? God wants to live his life through you as you hang out with God, that he begins to change your heart and your mind. You begin being like Jesus in this world, and the law is going like this. I can't get up there. I can't get up there. That is so lofty and awesome. I can only convict people of their sins. I can only show people what they've done wrong. Jesus says, hey, guess what? You walk with me, and it's above the law. It's beyond the law. There is no law where I'm living. Jesus is awesome. He's saying love conquers a multitude of sin. Greater love hath no man. So church, here's the deal. We don't know if Israel is going to nuke Iran, or if Iran is going to nuke the U.S., or if China is just testing out some new boats. We don't know what in the world Egypt is doing. And no one knows what the economies are about to do in the world. Okay? Things are crazy. And if things aren't crazy enough, we have an election coming up. And that's going to get real fun as we get toward that time. Listen, make sure you're hanging out with Jesus. Okay? The choice is yours. The choice is 100% yours to make. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a light and a lamp into the path and our feet. Every man and woman in this place, boy and girl, who's applied the word of God to their life's issue has seen you and have experienced you to be faithful. You are amazing. In our life's greatest challenges, when it's the darkest hour, we feel in a sense that we're the most abandoned at that moment, or the big question arises, why? You so beautifully come in and you lift our little branch that's holding our head. You pick it up and you tie it to a firm setting. And you begin to wash us with your word. And you renew the vitality of our soul. And today, Lord God, I pray that collectively, as these congregations have gathered through the course of this day, that you would revitalize this church. If 12 people can change the world and make it right side up, then Lord, thousands of believers just in this church alone, by the love of God, can affect the ends of the universe. We dedicate our lives to you, Father. We simply pray this morning that if there's those who do not know you, that somehow by the provocation of your Holy Spirit, they would have been made jealous today to know this God who is so personal, who speaks such wonderful things. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you delight, as any good parent, you delight in seeing your kids flourish. And you would have us to be fruitful. It's just like you. Thank you for not being content to leave us alone. But that we might become more in love with you every day. Lord, we give you this week that's before us. There'll be no accidents. There'll be no incident that has not escaped your perfect plan. So Lord, let us embrace what comes this week by the power of your Spirit with wisdom and knowledge. May we walk in the Spirit. May we bring you all the glory. And may all of us right now at this very second determine now to abide in Christ until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's stand as we close in this song.